discovery of London. That's London Walks Distilled. London Walks makes the new familiar, and the familiar new. That's London Walks opened out like the petals of a rose. This is the London Walks podcast. Sure enough, it's a discovery of London that makes the new familiar and the familiar new. Like London Walks, the podcast is a potpourri and a many-stringed instrument. Every day, there's a Today in London History Bulletin. Friday's a doubleheader, the London History Bulletin and the weekly podcast. Everything from interviews to readings by the two London Walks guides who are professional narrators, to Helena Jones's brilliant analyses of famous paintings, to extracts from London Walks tours, to retrospectives and look-aheads. All done to the London Walks gold standard. Take you places you wouldn't have found off your own bat, show you things you wouldn't have seen, tell you things you didn't know. Make the new familiar and the familiar new. Change the way you see London. Okay, that's the ringing of the tocsin and the writing on the greeting card. Let's see what's in the box today. London calling.
First, the London Today hors d'oeuvre. This little project is manifestly not one man's London. It's the London of 80 men and women, 80 London Walks guides. So today's London hors d'oeuvre comes from Andy. Here's his recommendation. He says, two of my friends are performing their acclaimed show, Elizabeth I, Virgin on the Ridiculous, at the King's Head Theatre Pub on Upper Street in Islington from March 1st to March 12th. The company, Living Spit, is from Bristol, where they are hugely popular. Some of you might have seen The Six Wives of Henry VIII a couple of years ago at the King's Head, which was also hilarious. Strongly recommended, not because they're my friends, but because they're good at what they do. Okay, on we go to Today in London History. Dark, satanic mills. It's one of the most famous lines in English poetry. It's from William Blake's great poem, Jerusalem. I'm going to read the poem in a minute, but let me set that up by asking you, how many other 16-line poems can you think of that brought forth three immortal lines? Yes, in addition to dark satanic mills, we get Chariots of Fire and England's Green and Pleasant Land from Blake's brief 16-line poem, Jerusalem. The poem is best known today as the lyrics to what is essentially an alternative national anthem. Music by Hubert Parry. What a career it's had. It became the women voters' hymn, and of course Elgar rescored it, and it's sung every year by an audience of thousands at the end of the last night of the proms. The poem first appeared in the preface Blake wrote for inclusion with his epic poem Milton. Here's Jerusalem. And did those feet in ancient time walk upon England's mountains green? And was the holy Lamb of God on England's pleasant pastures seen? And did the countenance divine shine forth upon our clouded hills? And was Jerusalem builded here among these dark satanic mills? Bring me my bow of burning gold, bring me my arrows of desire, bring me my spear, O clouds unfold, bring me my chariot of fire. I will not cease from mental fight, nor shall my sword sleep in my hand, till we have built Jerusalem in England's green and pleasant land. Now our focus is on that famous line, dark satanic mills. The main motif, if you will, is that during his unknown years, Jesus paid a visit to England, visited Glastonbury, and, well, Blake suggests, created heaven in England, which of course stands in stark contrast to the dark satanic mills of the Industrial Revolution. All well and good, and I had just assumed that Blake had in mind some sort of generic industrial plant, presumably up in Lancashire or somewhere else in the fast industrializing North and Midlands. Big shock when I found out that the model, the inspiration for his dark satanic mills, was just over Blackfriars Bridge, just to the southeast when you come off the bridge. Dark satanic mills. It's an unforgettable line. And to discover that it was a real concern, a London factory, it was called the Albion Mills, to discover that it had a London address, a local habitation, well, I was stunned. And just as the line had imprinted on my mind, well, now the knowledge that those dark satanic mills were on the south side of Blackfriars Bridge, that imprinted as well. It's now the case that every time I cross Blackfriars Bridge, the thought wells up, the dark satanic mills were here. I did a bit more digging. It turns out that there are line drawings of them, and indeed of the blaze that did for them. Those visuals, of course, have acted as mental pythons. They've reinforced that set of mental processes. I cross Blackfriars Bridge, I hear that line, and I see the Albion Mills. I see those dark satanic mills, as surely as someone in western South Dakota sees those four presidential faces on Mount Rushmore. It turns out that in their day, they were a tourist attraction. They opened in 1786. London's most famous bridge builder, John Rennie, played an important role in the design of the mills. They had two steam-powered engines, powerful engines they were. They had the power of 150 horses. They drove 20 pairs of massive millstones, each 4 feet 6 inches in diameter. Each pair would grind 10 bushels of wheat per hour, round the clock if necessary. They could produce 6,000 bushels of flour per week. Fact of the matter was, it was London's first major factory. You come off the southern end of Blackfriars Bridge, you can't help but think, it was right here that the Industrial Revolution came ashore in London. The implications of that, social and economic, were many and they were profound. This was a new world, industrial might given tangible form. The Albion Mills were huge. They'd been erected at great cost, £100,000. They were all about economies of scale. They were an in-your-face example of a juggernaut, big business, doing for the little guy. Finally, they're here in this Today in London History podcast because it was today, March 2nd, 1791, that the dark satanic mills went up in flames. Here's a contemporary account of the blaze. The writer was Horace Walpole. In a letter to friends, he said, "The Albion Mills are burnt down. I ask where they were, supposing they were powder mills in the country that had blown up. I had literally never seen or heard of the spacious, lofty building at the end of Blackfriars Bridge." Aside here, I didn't feel so bad about not having clocked them when I found out that Horace Walpole, who lived at that time, had missed them himself. Anyway, he goes on to say, "At first, it was supposed maliciously burnt, and it is certain the mob stood and enjoyed the conflagration as of a monopoly. The building had cost £100,000, and the loss in corn and flour is calculated at £140,000. I do not answer for the truth of the sums, but it is certain that Palace Yard and part of St. James's Park were covered with half-burnt grains." That was some fire. Well, I'll leave you with that. Maybe just a final note. In the Times of March 5th, 1791, there's a little news item that states, "Thursday, the flour mills at Blackwall, Poplar, Limehouse, and Rotherhithe, which have stood still upwards of these 3 years, began working again, owing to the Albion Mills being burnt down. And there, in a single short paragraph, you catch a glimpse of some of the small mills that were put out of business by the dark satanic mill. They must have cheered on the flames. It's not hard to get a feel for some of the social tensions, resentments, hatreds that must have been engendered by this powerful new Leviathan pitching up and in effect saying, "You small local businesses, you've had your day. We're here to take your livelihoods, all of them." And on that note, good night from London. See you tomorrow.